Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Crosstalk with your host, Brother Lawrence Jordan.
These are the last days. These are the days we need him the most. Our chances are slim now. Narrows the way not chosen by most. This could be our last call. There's no tomorrow for holding on to. So let's hold on to the truth. Perilous times have come. There's already those in tribulation. The fullness of times won't be long. But lovers of self more than lovers of God. And there's pride in the hearts of everyone. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. If we're positively lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're positively lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. These are the last days, and we've been condemned by our own disregard for what inhabits our hearts. We're neither hot nor cold, but in our own eyes the temperature's right. Somehow we're living just right. We claim we have need of nothing, and yet we are poor, naked, wretched, and blind. We must be out of our minds. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. Our vision is impaired. We're looking for gold that's everything but pure. Our vision is impaired. We're striving for gold that's everything but pure. We should seek wider raiment that our nakedness does not appear. To those who have an ear, I hope that this is clear. We need to repent, turn from our ways, and overcome as he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned. We need to repent. promise he overcame. And if we're possibly lukewarm, then we have been forewarned.
Amen. We're living in the last days. We've been warned. We have to repent. Remember where we've fallen as a nation, as a country, as a people, as a church, and come back and do what Jesus and the apostles told us to do. Welcome to Crosstalk Radio. This is your host, Brother Lawrence Jordan, and my co-host tonight is Don Gaunt. And we're going to share a word in season tonight about what happened to the gospel truth. Who has been corrupting and perverting the gospel? And, you know, there are so many people trying to unify around false gospels, but the warning that the apostles gave us in Galatians 1:8-9 says, if I or an angel come to you preach another gospel, let him be accursed. That's severe to twist, to add to water down, to make ineffective the gospel that converts souls unto God to obey him, love him, and be a house in order, not a house of chaos. If someone's twisting the gospel, he's Antichrist. He's an enemy of the cross of Christ. Brother Don, do you have a speaker on in your background? I'm getting some feedback there. Do you have your speakers, your laptop or something on?
No, nothing's on.
Getting a little bit of feedback. It's kind of echoey. You know, what we see nowadays, guys, is we see a gospel of the flesh. We see a gospel of me, myself, and I. We got self-esteem, love yourself, feel good about yourself. You know, it's all about self. God wants you to be happy, all this kind of stuff. I'm going to kind of lay this out, and I'm going to let Brother Don get some scriptures here. Verse 1. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, the prosperity gospel, the me, myself, and I gospel, boasters. I'm so wonderful. I got a big ministry. I'm on TBN, the Blasphemy Network. Proud. Blasphemers. How about the NAR stuff? How about the Kundalini impartation, fire tunnels, glory clouds, holy yoga? How about the short leg growing garbage? All this lies. How about this? Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Well, Jesus paid it all. I don't have to be holy. Yeah, really? The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. How about this? Verse 3, unloving, unforgiving. I know a lot of slanderers. Whoa, slander blog people. Yeah, without self-control, brutal, despisers of traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, money, wealth, planes, trains, automobiles. Turn on TBN. You can see all of this being fulfilled before your eyes. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now listen to this, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, look like a Christian, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning. They got their Bibles open in church. They're following along that pastor, prophet liar. But they're not learning because they're not seeking the truth. They're not testing. They're not searching the scriptures themselves to see if things line up upon lining on the Word of God. They're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. So do these who resist the truth. Truth is a key word to your salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to God but by him. You have to be in the truth. You have to be a seeker of the truth. You have to love the truth. You have to abide in the truth. They are men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But their progress will no further. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. So right there we see that. We can skip on down here to verse 12. It says, I want to read the whole thing here. Verse 10, it says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, the apostle Paul, of life and purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, intuition, afflictions, which happened to be in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If someone's telling you there's something wrong because you have trouble in your life, go ahead and just smack them upside the head, because they're a violator of the Word of God. That means you're doing something right, that the forces of hell are coming against you. It could be persecution from false Christians, which I get all the time. It could be the world crushing. It could be hell. It could be all kinds of different things. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to pick up your cross and say no to sin, and going to come out of Babylon, come out of the world, and stop living for your flesh and saying yes to God and no to the world, no to sin, you will be persecuted because you have become an enemy territory. Now, here's what we got to listen. Verse 13 here, right here. We've got a tares exposure here. False converts, false pastors, false teachers, false churches. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But here's the key, verse 14. But you out there, believers, must continue in all things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, we're going to be talking about that in a minute. And that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And it says, all Scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable doctrine, reproof, or correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God will be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have an opening here. Even shows us that all the false gospels out there, that is not the true gospel truth, follows all the works of the flesh. It's all about self. But Jesus told us a little key if you're going to be a follower. Forsake all, deny yourself, pick up your cross. You start living for yourself. It's repentance. Jesus called Peter out of the boat. Repent, Peter. Believe me. Believe on me, the way, the truth, and the life, Messiah. I want to just not be your Savior, but I want to be your Lord. And that's what they're not teaching. That's what the biggest error is in the false churches' gospels today, is they're not preaching, bow your knee, confess with your mouth, and actually obey your Creator. Jesus paid it all. I don't have to do nothing. Really? Go ahead, Brother Don. You got some scriptures to share?
Amen. That's an excellent scripture passage talking about the apostasy that's going on. It just goes on, even, I'll just continue that in chapter 4. It says, he's telling Timothy to preach the word, you know, be prepared in season, in season and out of season, correct and rebuke and encourage. And, you know, when are correcting and rebuking ever done in church today? There's no church discipline. And with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desires. They'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's what's going on right now.
That's,
you know,
right.
People go to the churches that tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to have to, you know, repent. And, you know, the born-again message isn't even being preached anymore. Nobody even knows what born-again is. And like you and me were talking before, there's got to be a reason why there's no power in the church. And I think the reason is because repentance and obedience to God is not being emphasized anymore. It's like optional. Yeah. You don't have to do those things to retain your salvation. And even if you don't, you can never lose your salvation. So there's no incentive whatsoever to walk in holiness or to obey God. Or, you know, everybody just seems to think that God is so loving that he'll never – ever, you know, cast them away. Well, that's totally opposed to what the Bible teaches. And because there's no obedience stressed, there's no power in the church, because it's not based on a foundation of repentance and obedience to God. Therefore, there's no power in the gospel today. They will turn their ears away to the from the truth and turn aside to myths, like once saved, always saved, the most prevalent demonic teaching in the church today. You can never lose your salvation. If you had it, you can never lose it. Well, if you can never lose it, why obey anything in the Bible? Let's just do whatever we want. We can never lose it. And that's exactly
right.
How people look at their walk with God. They don't think that they have to obey him to
work
retain
out
their salvation.
Yeah. I'm going to look up that scripture now. Work out your own salvation with fear and troubling.
Okay. Well, you know what I wanted to read is I wanted to read in chapter 7 of Jeremiah where God is giving the Israelites a message. He's telling them, reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place in the land I will give your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. He's talking about false religions and false doctrines.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, will you steal and murder and commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name and say, we are safe, safe to do all these detestable, sinful things? God will never, we can't lose our salvation. Yeah, we're safe. That's what people are doing today. This is exactly what people are doing today. They think they're safe to sin because they can never lose their salvation. God is so loving and merciful. He'll never cast us out. And has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. And that's
just
really...
ignore that. Ignore that beep. That's Brother Duane trying to call me. I told him I was doing a radio show. Oh, well.
I see. But you know, Jeremiah, he really hits the nail on the head when he says, but my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. How can you say we are wise for we have the law of the Lord when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? Whereas the scribes were copying it down wrong. They're writing out the word wrongly. That's what our seminaries are doing now. They're teaching all these pastors to be about once saved, always saved, you know, Calvinism, election, predestination. These are all false doctrines. And, you know, these pastors are coming into these churches thinking that, you know, no one can ever lose their salvation. It's such a demonic lie. You know, that's what Satan said to Eve in the garden. What did God say? Did he, surely you shall not, or wait, what did he say? Surely you shall not die. Is that what Satan said? God said to Adam and Eve, if you, you know, eat the forbidden fruit, you'll die spiritually. But Satan, the serpent, comes along and says, oh, you shall surely not die. See, that's what a once saved, always saved. It's the same thing. You won't lose your salvation. You won't die spiritually if you disobey God. It's the same lie.
Yep. That's right.
So,
you know, one of the things you and I were just talking about a little while ago is Acts 2:38. Part of the biggest is not converting people to really feel sorry for their sins, turn away from them. And not only that, come in agreement with your Creator that we are doing our own thing against him. We are actually breaking the design of why we were created, is to walk right with God according to his plan, according to his design by his own creation. And when you say, I'm going to do it my way, you're basically, you're biting the very hand that made you. Now, what kind of appreciation is that? Now, Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't repented in your so-called little prayer that you prayed many years ago, then you haven't received the Holy Spirit, because you have to repent and believe and turn away. And then there's another one that says, repent and bear fruits worthy of repentance. Find that one really quick. It's right here. Matthew 3:8, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. That means that you are turning away from sleeping with your girlfriend, smoking the dope, shooting, tooting, hooting out there all night long. You're putting to death the deeds of the body. Romans chapter 6, I recommend you to read it. You are putting off the old man and putting on Christ. You are dying. Jesus is living. Amen? So you
Amen.
Are to be putting off this old man. This is part of your salvation, is to walk right with God. As you're saying right to your God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm going to do what you got to say there. That's why the Bible tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We are supposed to be doing what the word says. We're supposed
yeah,
to be
and
walking
it's not
in
hard
righteous.
To do.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do because, you know, God has done a miracle for you right in your heart and your mind. He has changed you. I mean,
yep.
if you've really been born again. But see, today, people getting born again is a rare occurrence in churches because these pastors are not emphasizing the born-again message. They're just saying, oh, just place your trust in Jesus. Have you placed your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago? If you did, then you're saved. No, you're not saved. Anybody can place their faith in Jesus without obeying him or repenting of their sins. But it's when God works the Holy Spirit, it's a work of the Holy Spirit where he convicts you of your sins and you know you're utterly lost and you turn from your sin and you cling to Jesus and you sincerely ask him to forgive you and have mercy on you, bowing down to worship him and to submit to him. It's a submitting faith. You know, faith that has no submission to Jesus is not saving faith. That's dead faith.
Yeah.
And, here's another one, according to what you were just teaching. Paul was saying in Acts 5:32, he says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. See, God doesn't give the Holy Spirit to anybody who doesn't obey him.
Exactly. And, you know,
there's no obedience in,
I got
in
the
your
perfect
salvation.
Verse. Yeah, I got the verse that goes right along with I got that same verse that goes right along Philippians 2:12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, look at
yep.
that. Now, I also got one, too. There's one that salvation is for the obedient, you know, how Jesus, because he obeyed. He obeyed. To those who obey. To those who obey. Okay, let me see if I can find that one really quick. Because this is vital doctrine, you guys. Let me see here. I think it's in Hebrews.
Hebrews 10?
Okay. Let's see here. Those who do not obey the gospel of God. See, there's another one in 1 Peter 4.
Oh, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Let me see.
Actually, I know
second.
Where to find it real quick. It's on somebody's wall. It's actually a picture they got. It's Hebrews. I know that. Okay.
Oh.
It is Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. Obey
yeah,
him.
That's good.
So I want to look that passage up. If you got a couple more verses, I'll go look this up real quick.
Here's another one in 2 Thessalonians that I like. Paul is telling the Thessalonians, therefore among God's churches we boast about your perseverance and faith in the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and will give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on that day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. So he's saying, you know, if you're not obeying the gospel,
yeah.
you know, you'll be punished with everlasting destruction.
Yep.
You know, where is it stressed in the churches that we must obey the gospel?
Here's another one, brother. In 1 Peter 4:17, it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?"
There's another good one.
Look at how the Holy Spirit's leading us into the obey word, guys. If you cannot call Jesus Lord, you cannot call a king unless you obey that king. He is the highest ruler of the land, guys, and you don't understand this king. If you have not bowed your knee, confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you don't understand obedience. You don't understand this God. You don't know him. You might know about him because your pastor has said a few things in church, but if you haven't bowed your knee, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to say a dirty word, surrender. If you haven't surrendered to him in obedience and say, "God, everything I ever did in my past is wrong. I'm going to do what you got to do for now, what you want, what you say, what you designed, what your will is. Not my will, but yours be done." If you haven't had a change of heart like that, you are a false convert, because there's no way you can say Christ-like Christian, that you walk like the Son of God, Jesus, unless you have been born again, filled with his Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ was to obey his Father, even to the point of death, even to the point of death on the cross. "Father, I'm going to obey you even if it takes my life." See, now that's a faithful servant and a house in order. And you know what, Father? Crowned him with the highest honor after he did all of that, laying down his life. He absolutely surrendered. That was a teaching to us, guys. He was born first among many brethren, and that's conversion. You're saying, "God, I not only just want you in my heart, but I need you to save me for myself. I need you to show me the way of life, the way, the truth, and the life." And that means I must be crucified with you. It's no longer I who live, 2 Corinthians 5:17, but it's Christ in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now you have surrendered your life, you surrendered your will, you surrendered all this stuff, turn away from it, and you surrender to your God. And you're saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Has my life, all of it, all of my life. I want you to teach me how to walk right before you as my creator. I want to be in sync with you, not an angry God who has wrath upon me. But I want you to love me as your own son. That's conversion.
That's right.
That's a son in a house in order, that when you walk in that house, it's in order. Everything's tidy. Everybody's at peace. There's no chaos. When Lucifer, Satan, tried to cause chaos, he was cast down out of heaven. So why would you believe in a false gospel that you don't have to obey your creator? The Jesus paid it all lie. You know, the imputed righteousness lie. The once saved, always saved lie. You know, the lordship salvation lie. The no works salvation lie. All this stuff that you people put as labels, but you don't take the full counsel of God. Just because you hear a man say that, it triggers your mind. You're damning your souls to hell because you don't search the scriptures at Bereans. You don't test the spirit to see whether God, from any false prophets, have gone into the world. You don't check it out. That doesn't sound right. Well, you know what? Don't stop there. The Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you right there. When you know something doesn't sound right, don't sit there like a dumb sheep. You open up your Bible, Bible apps on your phone. You can type in the key subject, bring up hundreds of verses, and find out if your pastor's been lying to you. There's a ton of them out there. We're going to get to those pastors too.
and you know how Satan is creating the end times apostate church now. What he's doing is he's infiltrating all the seminaries, and he's putting all his people in place in the churches, you know, to teach this gospel. Their goal is to make everybody feel inclusive. Don't, you know, make anybody feel alienated or uncomfortable and make them, you know, not come back. It's to make everybody feel inclusive. So they have to invent these doctrines that make people feel they're still okay in their sin. It's still okay to sin. You know, we can't stop sinning. You know, we sin thought, word, and deed 1,000 times every day. We're all sinners saved by grace. No, we're the righteous. There's a difference between the righteous and the wicked.
We
the
righteous
will
not sinning. You know,
yeah,
brother,
the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right. But the righteous are those who practice. I got to find that verse, brother. I got to find it. You know what? Actually, will you go look
practice
up,
righteousness? That's
yeah,
in 1 John 3.
Yeah, will you go look that up real quick? I'm going to go ahead and go back to. I got two or three more obedience scriptures that you're going to love them. You're going to love them.
Okay.
Acts 5:32, it says, in his witnesses to these things, and so also the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Acts 5:32. Romans 2:8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Wrath. You don't obey God? His wrath remains on you because why? You are not surrendered to your Creator. You are at odds. You are an enemy of the cross of Christ. You're an enemy of Christ. You're saying, I will cause chaos in your kingdom, God. I will not bow my knee. I just want to not go to hell, but I don't want to obey you. That's the false gospels that you people believe out there, and you're taking a hook, line, and sinker because you don't know the truth. The truth has not set you free so that you know who God really is and what he requires of his creation. He requires his creation is to obey him because he made it a certain way. And when one thing goes out of order, everything else gets messed up down the line. When man uses his will to destroy this planet with ozone problems and pollution and, you know, spilling oil, you know, we are reaping what we sow because we're not obeying our God. He created things a certain way. How about man and woman? He created them to have babies. Satan's been trying to pervert sex and the creation of children ever since the beginning of time. He was a pervert. He even sent the fallen angels to go have sex with the women. And behold, we had giants in the land for a time. And, you know, we have got to realize we've got to obey and surrender to our Creator. Otherwise, you have chaos. It is not a house of order. It's not a house of holiness. It's a mess. So we've got to start thinking with our brains. Okay, if I don't have to obey God because Pastor told me I didn't have to, then aren't you causing a wreck and a false movement? Aren't you in direct violation to God? Because right here, Romans 2:8, but to those who are self-seeking and look at self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Okay.
Yeah.
Hebrews 3:18, it says, to him who swears that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. So obedience is important to God. That's obviously. Cannot
so
have
many
a house.
Of those scriptures.
You cannot have a kingdom where you're telling off the king all the time because he'll cut your head off. He will chop your head off and send you the dogs because he will not have his kingdom overturned or even a coup where you're trying to be in charge and you say, I'm not going to obey you, king. You know what? It doesn't work too well. He's got some soldiers that will take you down called angels. He won't even let you in there. He's being very picky and selective who gets to come in. Very picky.
No, nothing impure will ever get into heaven.
Yeah.
Nothing.
In fact, all that offense will be taken out of his kingdom, the scriptures say. You know, did you find that one verse, brother, about he who practices righteousness just as righteous as he is righteous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dear children, it's in 1 John 3. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous. Just as he is righteous, Jesus.
Yep.
He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because
that's
the devil
right.
has been sinning from the beginning. Then he goes on to say, this is how we know who the children of God are and the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. You know, when do you ever hear that scripture taught in church? We are to know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil, and we can tell by their actions. If they're sinning, they're not a Christian.
That's right. That's
what
that's
the Bible
right.
teaches.
Now, you know, listen, now you just triggered something here, brother. If he who sins is of the devil, now let's go back to the parable of the sower who sowed the tares amongst the wheat. Now, what does the devil do? He's sinning against God. So what are the sons of disobedience, the tares, the false Christians doing? sinning against God, practicing sin
yep.
against God. Sin, sin,
mm-hmm.
don't obey. Do their own will. Have it their way at Burger King. Don't crucify their flesh. Don't work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't have a relationship with Jesus. Don't have the Holy Spirit of truth to convict them and drive them to the cross, to die to themselves, to pick up their cross, to walk holy and upright in this wicked and perverse generation. Satan sowed these tares by false gospels that do not convert, do not convict, and do not change somebody to be born again. It gives them half the message, but it doesn't call
half
them to repentance, to fall yep. down on their face and say, God, I have sinned against you, and you alone I need to turn from my wicked ways and believe you and walk right with you. I'm changing right now, God. In my mind, I have done wrong in your sight, and I'm asking for your mercy. I'm asking for your grace that I would turn away from that and walk in synchronicity with you, that I will be what you created me to be before the fall of man. That's humility. You humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he shall lift you up. The Lord is near to those who are humble and broken, contrite spirit. He will come near you when you finally surrender. He sees
mm-hmm.
your heart. He knows that mean business. I blew it. You know, I don't want to just play church. I want to be the church. I want to be your child. I want to be in your kingdom. But that means I have to surrender and obey you, because you can't have it your way anymore. It don't work that way. And any churches you're going to, any gospels you're hearing that teach you that, you better run, because Antichrist is there. Antichrist spirit. They're enemies of the cross of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They've been planted by Satan. There's millions of false pastors in these mega churches and denominations that Satan purposely planted undercover agents who have twisted
yep.
the word of God. They're liars. They're agents of Satan. They're hirelings. They work for their little 501c3 tax-exempt checks that they get, and they are not called
yep.
of God. They're not even shepherds after his own heart. They don't even give you the hard words of God to convict you so that you live a holy life. There's so much leaven in their churches that the whole lump is ruined. That's that much of a mess. We need to come out of spiritual prostitution. It's called the harlot of Babylon church system. We got to come out of her, my people. We cannot
right.
share in adultery on Jesus. If you're going to be part of this marriage supper of the Lamb, this wedding feast with Jesus and marry him, then you need to leave the adultery. And you can't be a two-faced person on the Lord. You've got to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to choose one master. Which master will you be faithful to? Amen.
That's right. And if your pastor is not convicting you of your sins, you know, if he is not putting you on the fire, on the hot spot to convict you of your sins, he is not from God. He is not a called person from God to be a pastor, and he is not qualified to be a pastor. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, the head, he is the one who selects, who has ordained some to be, apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He is the one who ordains these people. And a lot of these guys, they are not called by God. They just choose to get in it because it's a way they can earn a check. And because they're not called by God, they have no way of knowing what they should be preaching, because they don't have that calling from God and that gifting from him. They have no divine commission from him. And
yeah.
so they just guess. They just, you know, try to teach what, you know, people in unity and runs the church good and keeps people coming back and makes everybody feel good. But they're not convicting you of your sins. They don't understand it because they haven't been equipped by God to do that. They don't understand the gospel, especially the way these seminaries are teaching them.
Cemeteries.
And,
the school of the dead.
Yeah, cemeteries. yeah.
It's sad.
And if your pastor is not convicting you of your sins, of all your sins in your life, to get them out, to walk in holiness with God, in total obedience in every area of your life, he is not from God. You know?
Right.
These pastors are doing whatever they can to not convict anybody of their sins. They just want to have pleasing sermons to encourage people. They think that God has called them to encourage people. Well, you can have an awful lot of God spoke this to me once. He said, you know, these pastors, they can teach 1,001 topics from the Bible very accurately out of the Greek and everything without ever mentioning the scriptures that people need to hear to get saved and remain saved.
That's right.
They just gloss. They just avoid the scriptures, like all the scriptures we're bringing up tonight. What pastors are bringing them up to you and stressing them? They're not. They don't. They avoid them.
That's right. They don't want
to. You know it.
They don't want to offend anybody because you know what? They want to keep the people in the pews for their big paychecks and stuff, and they think a big church is what it's all about. You know that song from Jason Ballard? It's called "This Is Not a Game." It's not a church about a seat of a thousand. I didn't get a chance to upload that in the studio. But that song has got a powerful message. It's not about a choir that sings on key. It's about the kingdom and where you're going to make time to share my gospel. Man, I tell you, there's some convicting, powerful lyrics in that song.
Wow.
I have it on my YouTube channel, too. And pray for Jason Ballard, guys. Discouragement hit the brother, and he's not walking right with God. But this guy was a mighty man of God. And, he had a prophetic psalmist gift. And I tell you, he's got a message from the Lord from the end time church. And once again, he didn't finish his race, God. He needs help. He needs our prayers. He needs to be restored. Keep him in prayer, please. Please.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because
Satan knows just who to go after to shut him up.
Yeah. Yep. He's going after all of us. He has a short time. I tell you, ever since I stuck my neck out, brother, I've had these savage wolves, these Jezebel slandering witches after me, and they just won't stop. They're demon-possessed, and they don't even know what they're doing anymore. They just lie upon lie, and it's so sad they don't know they've been taken captive by Satan to do his will, and they've lost their salvation. They are not saved anymore. They do not know Jesus, and Jesus has cut them off, and now demons have taken over their bodies, their temples. And that's all they desire now is to kill, steal, and destroy. They don't want to.
And they think they're righteous. The most amazing thing about it is they think they're righteous in what they're doing. They have no sense of, that they're doing anything wrong. God has allowed them to become perfectly, totally deceived about what they're doing. That's the most amazing thing about God is when people refuse to submit to him, God is content to have them be totally deceived about their going to hell and the wrath that's being stored up against them for the day.
Yeah.
That's amazing about God. That's the severity of God. He puts them in a position to store up more and more wrath for that day because they've rejected such a great salvation and such a great mercy and compassion from him.
Yep.
And they've turned it away and stuck their nose up at God and gave him the finger and are doing their own selfish thing. And so God is perfectly pleased to have them be totally deceived that they're in any kind of wrongdoing. They can't see their own sin. How many people have we known that are in terrible, wicked, evil, and they just don't even know it? They don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because God has allowed Satan to totally delude them.
They're not even convicted
as a
for
form of
lying.
Judgment on them.
You know, they're being taught by their own family and their ex-friends for all their lies, and it's caught up with them. They're reaping what they sow, and they still don't repent. I mean, that's very sad.
Yeah.
They're being called out by their own blood family, and they don't even want to repent. It's very sad. They are turned over strong delusion. They're hellbound. They really are.
And, hey, you know what's another scripture or another word in the Bible that we should do a study on? Purify, or purifies, or purified. You know, that word, if you look all over, at least in my translation, there's all kinds of scripture where, you know, he who believes in this purifies himself. You know, he has purified himself. You know, where do we hear that in the churches? That we're supposed to purify ourselves. But that's the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do. He gave us this power from him, you know, to be able to do those things, to live in righteousness from him. By him shedding his blood, he has freed us from our sins, from our sinning nature. He has given us power to resist the devil and say no. And to walk in righteousness. I mean, it's such a miracle he's given us. But see, this is being distorted in the churches. They're not emphasizing it because they don't want anybody to feel alienated that they're not walking that way.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are traitors to Jesus, these pastors that refuse to teach the truth.
That's right.
And but that's the miracle of being born again. You know, he's changed us into a new creation. It's not a theoretical thing. It's a real miracle that he's done, that he... You know, if he's done that for you, you know, maybe he hasn't. That's a question we all must ask ourselves. Did Jesus really reveal himself to me?
Right.
Has Jesus really changed me, or is it just my own self-effort?
Yep.
If it's my own self-effort, it's not. I'm not born again, no. If I was born again, I would know it. There's no way you would not know it if you were not, if you were born again. You would know it from the bottom of your heart that your totally whole life has been changed by God. It's something he did, not a theoretical thing, but
and
a real
everybody
miracle.
Everybody around you should know, too. Like my old friends I used to party
yeah.
with, I mean, they know everything about me is Jesus. And it cracks me up. They slander me and lie stuff about I'm not even doing it. Cracks even my people, I mean, I used to smoke pot, drop LSD, you know, shoot, toot, and hoot, all the drugs. You know, I was the one trying to always get the, you know, the, where's the keg? You know, where's the party tonight?
Yeah,
they know
the
I'm not like that.
Who's got some, hey, I want to get stoned.
I got living water flowing out of me now. You know, I'm a brand new creation
yeah.
in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And when
yeah.
somebody blasphemes, the work of the Spirit and God's work and his mighty power that he's done, those people are in trouble because the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents and gets born again and saved. We are supposed
Amen.
To also, because that's the gospel good news message. Somebody got
yeah.
saved. They changed. Their life is different. They're not
Amen.
An old man anymore. Well, I'm kind of old still, but, you know. It's ridiculous.
You know, and to me,
only the accuser of the brethren would do what they do, you know, Satan.
Yeah, and to me, you know, if God doesn't want to, you know, show himself to be real to me and make this real to me so that I can walk in this new life, I don't want it. It's dead. It's nothing but
yeah,
deadness.
Exactly.
I want
you're
that new
just,
life. I want Jesus.
You're not short to the building
it.
For that. You know, like the one today. While I went there, I tell you, I was yawning the whole sermon. It was so dry, so boring. He had nothing to bring to the table. I'm going, oh, my word, I should have just stayed in the back room and read my Bible myself. I would have actually got some edification. It was so dry. He said, what about the blood of Jesus? And what did you do with that blood? And have you allowed that blood to cleanse you, wash you, and make you new so that there's no more blood shedding? But if now you are in peace with God, you're obeying God, and you are a new creation. I mean, come on, give us some meat of the word. You know, I don't need a few crumbs. I want the meat
yeah,
of the word.
Yeah, he probably trampled on the blood.
To live holy, you know?
Yeah, he probably trampled on the blood.
It was so boring. And it wasn't that huge breakfast that I ate either that was put me in the food coma. It was the sermon. And it's like, you know, when you're checking your watch and you know you're in a dead church when you're going, gosh, isn't this over yet? And you're looking at your watch going, time's up, motor mouth. You stinketh.
Yeah, really.
You got nothing. If you got no anointing, you got no anointing, you got nothing.
Yeah, you ain't got nothing.
Mother, hang it up. Bible college didn't do you no good.
Yeah, sit down and go back to Georgia.
You're drier than a mouthful of crackers.
Yeah, a mouthful of fuzz.
Ain't no living water coming out of that faith.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
oh
the trouble.
Word.
God has allowed us to know too much, so we go into these churches and we see all the apostasy and all the fakes, all the
yes.
phonies, and you know, we're just sick of it. We don't want to put up with it anymore. God doesn't want us to put up with it. God
yeah.
puts us in a place to confront it, and they don't like it, and then they call us divisive, preaching the gospel in truth and power.
We're bringing
and they
them
can't
back to the word
it.
Of God. We're bringing them back to the
yeah.
word. And it's like it challenges their brainwashing, their false teachings that they sat under. And they can't imagine everything that they put in their brain that they didn't bother to test.
Yeah, so then they put their
God.
Thumbs in their ears and start shouting yep. at the top of their lungs and attacking us, just like
yep.
they did Stephen when they stoned him. They
yep.
start shouting at the top of their lungs with their fingers in their ears, plugging up their ears so they wouldn't have to hear it anymore. That's how these people respond. It's
yep.
It's really a sad situation. It's hard to find real Christians who really are walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
Who really are, you know, talking to Jesus all day long and fellowshipping with him. I mean, that's what knowing Jesus is like. You know,
yeah.
of course, we get off track now and then, but...
Whatever things are true, things are lovely, whatever things are good reports, the Bible says think on these things. Well, what better things to think on than, you know, our Creator, our His Majesty, and how that we
mm-hmm.
might walk with Him. You know, people are such in a big hurry over their selfish lives They don't take time to be still before the Lord, before the Master. They don't know how to hear him. You know, God will speak.
Yeah.
His spirit will well up inside of your spirit and inspire and start speaking things into your spirit if you will listen to him. He is the good shepherd.
Yeah.
He says, my sheep do hear my voice, and they will no means follow the voice of strangers. I tell you, my tonight's salvation started out by actually hearing Jesus speak to me that he was the way, the truth, and the life. In the midst of my darkness as a new aging practicing witch, sitting near my lotus position going hum, 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 I heard Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, I met the good shepherd. I didn't meet a fake pastor. I didn't meet a fake evangelist. I didn't hear a false gospel. I met the word of God come into the flesh, Jesus. And he was speaking the word of God into me, and faith came. I believed, I repented, and I gave my life, and I said, I want to be the real thing, Jesus, or not at all. Not at all.
Amen.
And my life's been changed and radical and crazy ever since. I tell you, the devil has it out for me because the Lord says, okay, you want to be used by me? Well, this is what's going to be required. You got to take up a painful cross, and everybody you open your heart to is going to turn on you, and they will hate you. And that's the ones that name his name. Because you're going to speak forth truth that's going to blow them away and make them mad. You're going to correct them. You're going to walk into their little house churches, Agape Harvest Church, and Church of Strawberry, Arizona, and you're going to call Dan and Charlene Clark to repentance. They're going to get mad at you. They're going to say you have religious spirit. They're going to say all kinds of lies about you, follow, because you try to correct their gnar teaching, their latter-day rain, double portion anointing. They're going to turn against you. But, you know, I heard my Savior. I hear him.
And most people, you know, God isn't, most Christians, God isn't going to give, this calling to be calling out these fakes. You know, God only gives that gift to certain people, you know. And, so if you're not someone who God has given that calling, you know, you're going to remain relatively safe in these churches because you'll never really discern how evil or fake they are. And that's a danger in itself because you can be deceived by these false teachers and these false hired hand preachers, shepherds that are false. They're not from God. I know people that have, you know, good Christians who have sat under these false teachers, these apostate Satan's agents for years. They sit under them and, you know, they don't discern that there's anything bad, you know, and I just tell them, 1, 2, 3, I name off all these things that they've taught over the years and all these false things and all these false doctrines, all these things that they should have stood up against and they never did. And they just can't understand it. You know, the people with discernment gifts are so needed in the church today.
Exactly.
You know, the church is walking around blind. It's like the body, the discernment gifts
are
the eyes.
Yep. They poke their eye out.
Yeah, they poked their eye out. Now they're stumbling around in the darkness. They can't see where they're going.
Exactly.
And they can't discern truth from falsehood.
Yep.
And it's very dangerous.
See, if they were smart, they would actually listen to what the watchman got to say. Take it and examine it. You go into prayer. You open up the Bible yourself and say, I'm going to look into this matter myself. It's going to challenge the stuff you've been taught, guys. Believe me, I've had to get challenged, too, by the Lord. Because I sat under bad teachers, and we suck this poison in like it's true doctrine. But if you look at it violates scriptures all over, the ifs, the do's, the don'ts, the obeys, bides. There's so much. I mean, there's just hundreds of verses that destroy a lot of the stuff that we're taught in church. It does not line up with scripture. It's not God. Because God does not send a prophet, a preacher, a pastor that will speak against his word. It will line up. It will line up perfectly, and he will compare scripture with scripture. He'll give you a whole body of them, and we've got technology today. You don't even need the Strong's Concordance that weighs 500 pounds. You type it in that search engine, write your online Bible, and you can pull up all those subjects on that very matter, and you can find out the full counsel of God within seconds, and you'll see where someone's twisting the word on you. You'll see. You've got the Holy Spirit of truth. That's the best instrument you got right there is the Holy Spirit of truth. You've got the Holy Ghost inside of you. He's going to well up, and he's going to remind you of the verses that God will bring them to your remembrance. You say, remember what I said in my word. Remember, remember, remember. Remember, this is a relationship with God. You ought to be hearing the Lord. You ought to be hearing him say, that ain't right. That goes against my word. I have heard Jesus tell me several times sitting in church, that ain't me. That is a violation of my word. And he would go, have me open my Bible and have me go find that verse and correct the false teaching. Did I always bring it to that teacher's attention? No, I was young in the Lord, and he wanted me to walk in the truth as he is in the truth. That also represents light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. You have fellowship with one another. You know, you're walking in the dark. You can't see where you're going, guys. You're blind. And you're stumbling around, and you don't know where you're going. You've got to walk in the light. You've got to walk in the truth. That's what light represents.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Here's another scripture.
Okay, go ahead.
In Ephesians 5:5, he starts it out saying, "For this you can be sure." In other words, he's saying there's no question about it. There's no question about this. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on to those who are disobedient. Now, how does that scripture fly with Charles Stanley coming along saying, if you once had salvation, you can never be lost? That's a lie.
That's right, because Ananias and Sapphira that lied to the Holy Spirit, they were smitten and killed by God. Alexander the coppersmith that didn't finish his race. He was delivered over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. There was Judas Iscariot that denied the Lord and sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Come on, guys, really. Jesus gave us two clues in Mark and in Matthew. He who endures till the end shall be saved. You have to run your race to win the prize, the crown of life. You cannot betray the Lord. You cannot deny the Lord. You cannot be ashamed of the Lord. These are all verses. I mean, verses upon verses upon verses that you cannot turn against God and expect to go to heaven afterward. You can't do it. Otherwise, you would make him a lawless God. You are saying, God, you will tolerate my wickedness. Well, then he needs to apologize to all those in Noah's flood. If he tolerates wickedness, why did he destroy the planet? Did you forget that he's a God of wrath? Did you forget the wrath to come? Did you forget that his wrath comes upon the sons of disobedience? Therefore, do not be partakers with them. The scriptures warn us. Can do you, who name his name, not, you know, you cannot be lawless. You have got to be abiding in Christ the vine. You've got to be in agreement with your Creator. Otherwise, you have chaos.
Yeah.
It don't work. Salvation don't work for those who disobey God. It don't work.
That's right.
It's impossible to have a kingdom of holiness.
It's nullified. That's nullified for those who don't obey God. And, you know, if we struggle in a sin, you know, we all struggle with sin. That's the test that this life is. You know, it's a struggle against sin. If we struggle against sin, you know, cry out to God. Cry out to God. God, save me from this. God, deliver me from this. God, deliver me from this wickedness. God, I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to walk with you in righteousness and holiness. If that's your desire and you cry out to God, he will deliver you. But see, that's the test. Are you really crying out to him to be free from that sin? If you're not, you're not walking in salvation. You're not walking in salvation. You're walking in disobedience.
Here's one that really destroys some of the stuff we're taught in church. I'm just a sinner and I can't help it. Really? We're going to go to Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly here. What shall we say then?
Yeah.
Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died, if you're born again and you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, born again man? You die with Jesus, you raise with Jesus. That's what water baptism represents. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death. That Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Oh, Jesus paid it all. I don't have to walk in the newness of life. Put away that doctrine of devil. You do have to. The Bible says you have to walk this in the newness of life. You have to walk. You have to abide. You have to obey. You have to be
a doer of the word. You can't just say Jesus paid it all and just lay it all on him. He paid for the initial cost of sin by the shed blood that he did at the cross, but he commands all men everywhere to repent, the Bible says, to believe the gospel, to walk in the gospel, to walk with Jesus in humility. Now, verse 5, it says, for we have been united if, I'm sorry, for if, there's an if word. What do you do when you see an if word? Conditional. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this, our old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin, no more excuses, I'm a sinner, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You call yourself a sinner,
amen.
You are violating scriptures. You are not supposed to be a practicer. You might slip up, but you are not to practice sin, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been set free from sin.
Now, if we died
with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died for to sin. He died to sin once and for all. For the life that he lives to God. That's what we're talking about. When you're hanging around real believers that want to talk about God all the time, that's their new life. They're living to God. Likewise, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not. This is you men and women out there. Don't say Jesus paid it all. He's going to do it for me. It says you do this. You do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not, N-O-T, have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. For what then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that whom you present yourself slaves to obey? There's that obey word again, brother, right there. It keeps coming up. And you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. You obeyed from that heart, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And I speak to you in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now, you out there, believer, you present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That blows away so much Calvinism. Once saved, always saved. I can't help it. Greasy grace, hyper grace, you know, dumb things that people say. It destroys it. The Bible destroys the lies that we're being taught if you would read it. If you would just read it and then retain it. Say, Father, I want you to hide your word in the tablets of my heart, so I will not sin against you. And how about this? I don't want to be lied to and deceived. To remember, that's his job. He's not for you to do Pentecostal backflips and speak in tongues and flip all over the floor. He's there to help you remind you what Jesus has said. He's there to convict you. He's there to empower you. He's there to comfort you. But he's not there to have a three-ring circus act, as though these prophetic movement people do. You got to know who God is. You got to know who the Holy Spirit is. You got to know who the Father is if you're truly a convert. Amen, brother.
Amen.
God, where did all that came from? Man, I didn't even have my
good.
Tie yet.
That's good. Hey, you know what scripture I really like out of there is is 6:14, where it says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace."
Yep.
See, the grace that Paul taught is such that sin will not be our master. See, that's the opposite of what we're being taught today. Oh, we can sin. We're still under grace. We can't lose our salvation because of grace. No, sin shall not be our master. We're to be slaves of righteousness. We've been set free from sin. We've died to sin. We've been crucified. And, you know, Paul said in Galatians that, you know, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. That's what being a Christian is. That's how we receive God's peace and walk in peace with him, by walking in obedience and turning from evil and walking in righteousness. It's all over. Even in chapter 7, verse 5 there in Romans, he says, "For when we were controlled by the sinful nature," he's talking about before we were saved, "the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death." Mm-hmm. Now, if we're Christians and we're still being controlled by the sinful nature, we're bearing fruit for death.
That's right.
Spiritual death.
You know what, Bible? You know what else goes with that, brother? It says, "He who sows to the flesh is death, but he who sows to the spirit is life." There's another one of confirmation.
Yeah.
You sow to the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to hell. You're going to die in your sins. But if you sow to the spirit, it's life everlasting. That's a choice of man. You have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Jesus paid, "I don't have to do any imputed righteousness" lies. Guys, you better start reading your Bibles, because there's a lot of things telling you personally as a believer, as a so-called Christian, you're supposed to be Christ-like. You're supposed to be obeying from the heart. Because you love him, you're in agreement with him, you've made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ through the cross, and you're saying, "No longer am I going to fight you, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk with the creator of the universe and so to the spirit, and I'm going to obey what he's got to say." Now, how could you not love a son like that? A son who will you can give him keys to the kingdom, give him keys to the house, say, "Son, it's all yours." That's what he did with Jesus. Father said, "Son, it's all yours. You were faithful. You died on the cross. You paid for the penalty of sin." Jesus is asking us to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and forsake all to be a convert, to be a disciple. Not to just play church on Sundays and Wednesdays and show up to the building. You are the building that's supposed to be holy. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are supposed to be offering up your bodies as a living sacrifice daily, holy and acceptable to God. Amen, brother. Praise God. You still there, Brother Don? Did I lose you? Hello. Got real quiet. See here. Brother Don, you still there? I think we lost Brother Don. Okay. Well, I'll keep going. I'll see if he calls back in. I don't know how I'm going to add him, but let's see. His phone might have got cut off here. Let's see here. Let's take a look here. I think I lost Brother Don. Too much holy hollering. We shorted the phone out. Too much holy hollering. Let's see. I'm trying to find where Don is at. Oh, new phone. I don't know where anything's at in this. Okay, here we go. I can't even spell. One of these days I might learn how to spell, even with a new phone. Okay, let me see here. None of those are him. I see somebody in the studio, and I thought that was Brother Don calling back in. His phone might have died, his batteries. He was charging his phone, so he might have lost his connection. So I'll just keep going on here, and praise God. So we were going through Romans chapter 6. I'm going to go through that one passage about offering up your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offering up your body. Okay, let me see here. I think bodies. very picky on this search engine, offering up your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay. Living sacrifice. There we go. There it is, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good and acceptable, perfect will of God is. There's somebody who surrendered to God, walking in harmony with him. For this I say that through grace is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one as a measure of faith. So right there, we are called. Now, even 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up as spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. There's a cross reference. Within seconds, I can put in the subject, guys, in Bible Gateway, and you can find the full meaning of verses. Put in the word works in here, and you can find a whole bunch of stuff on works. You got a question about verses on works? Well, they, you know, everybody makes a false doctrine. Some, go look it up yourself. You go see what the Bible's got to say about it. Amen? You go look. You test. You search the scriptures. And right now, I want to put on this song about picking up our cross and see if Brother Don's able to get back on here. It's called Pick Up Our Cross by Tanya Tata. Oh, man, she's anointed. I tell you, she's from Africa, and this sister's got a gift. So I'm going to go ahead and play the song and be right back.
Have your way in me.
Notice she's saying surrender. Jesus, have your way.
Have your way in me. Not my will. We'll follow after you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Great song. I love that song. Love that song. I still don't know what happened to Brother Don. Maybe his phone. He was having some problems with his phone earlier, so it might have died. But good stuff, man. Romans chapter 6. I really ask everybody to read that, guys. It's vital that you know that. I'm going to go back to a couple of scriptures that Brother Don brought up earlier. The First John, he who sins is of the devil. He who sins. This is vital that we know this stuff, guys. It's vital that you read the Bible. You need to let God's word convict you, too. You need to let it convict you and change you and transform you and correct you to on the straight, narrow path that leads to eternal life. 1 John 3:8. He who sins, you're saying, I'm a sinner? Well, you're not supposed to be practicing it, guys. I mean, I really wonder about your salvation. If you're practicing on purpose and constantly say, oh, destroy, you know what? Put the death to deeds of the body. Put the death to deeds of the body. That's going to be the next verse I'm going to look up. 1 John 3:8. God's telling you to do that. Don't say Jesus paid it all. He did it for me. No, he's telling you to put the death to deeds of the body. I'm going to get to that. But he, listen, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil is sin from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So don't say, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Well, let's go in here. Let's go back in here and say, okay, I was just talking about he who sins is of the devil. And I was just talking about that one verse. Let me see if I can remember it again. It kind of drew a blank here for a minute. Put to death deeds of the body. We're going to go to that. Here it is. Colossians 3:5. You're being told to do this. God's telling you to do this by his inspired word. Colossians 3. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm going to open up that full chapter here. That's verse 5. We're going to go on and see what else has got to say. You want to read the full context of it. And it says, because of these things, here's the reason why. You say that you're a child of God? Well, you're doing that stuff? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Remember, it talks about a house that cannot be in order, a house of chaos. In which, okay, let me read that again. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once, if you're born again, once you walked when you lived in them. So you are to put these off. You, verse 8, but you yourselves are to put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another about slander. Since you have put off the old man and with his deeds, and you have put on the new man renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So therefore, the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tenderment. They're telling you to do this. You're to do this. Don't listen to that imputed righteousness lie. You are required to follow God and obey him. The Bible's telling you to do these things. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, not grudges, not slander, not blogs. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must do. You have to do that. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called to one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatever you do with word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Praise God. Look at that, saints. So we've gone through a whole lot of stuff. We've debunked false teaching, false gospels. We've come back to the true gospel. It's obedience. Obedient from the heart. That form of doctrine which is able to save your souls, it talks about in 1 Timothy 3. We obey. You cannot have a relationship with God without obedience. It's impossible. You are a lawless son of the devil, which the wrath of God comes for. I've read so many scriptures tonight. We've debunked all this lawless false teaching. Romans chapter 6, it destroys so much false teaching out there. It just demolishes it. 1 John 3 will demolish it too. That's why it's vital that you get into the Word. You study. You should be so obsessed with that book that you can't put it down because you want the truth so much. And you know what? The Lord's going to open your eyes. He says that He will is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. Amen? So you seek, you ask, and you knock, and the Lord will show you. You'll be able to come out of the spiritual harlot of Babylon because you'll have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You will no longer be carried away by every wind of doctrine which men wait and lie to deceive and try to destroy. But you'll have eyes to see because you're attached to the head, which is Christ, and you're listening to your good shepherd, and you hear His voice, and He says, danger, danger, get out of here, that ain't me. That man is not of me. He's twisting my word. Run. Run, little sheep. Run to the good shepherd. Amen. Father, we thank You for tonight. I don't know what happened to Brother Don, but I thank You for him coming on tonight and giving a great word tonight, Father, with me. And I love this brother. I prayed that this message would go out to the saints of the living God. Father, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in the last days. Father, that we would repent from false doctrines of men. Hold on to Christ the head. Hold on to the true gospel truth, Father, and abide in Christ the vine. Abide in Your word, Father, and that we be Your true disciples indeed, that we would not be carried away by all these false doctrines of men, but we would be abiding in the truth and the light as You are in the light. We love You, Father. We thank You, and we ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, brothers and sisters. Thank you for coming to Crosstalk. Hope to see you again next time. Next time we got to get a broadcast going. Always advertise it and plaster it all over. So I bid you shalom, peace, and keep abiding in Jesus. Amen. Run your race. The time is short. Endure to the end to be saved, Jesus said. God bless you. And good night. And keep walking, guys. Don't give up. And open up your ears. Here's a song from Christ. Awaken my ear.
Yeah.